You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
In celebrating 30 years of democracy, what better way to do it than to look at a company that also turns 30 in this year that just happened to release its full set of numbers on this day. I am, of course, referring to Vodacom. They dropped their full year's results for the year ended March 2024. And I'm joined on the line by the company's CEO, Shameel Yusup, to take a look at these numbers and just reflect on the company's performance. Good evening, Shameel. Thanks so much for taking the time. From 10,000 customers to 200 million customers and up to 150 billion in revenue for the year. And you've been there from the very, very beginning. How are you feeling at the moment?
Yeah, honestly, very proud, but also invigorated in terms of, you know, the changes and the differences that we've been able to make in communities. And so, you know, and, you know, how we see ourselves as a sector of sectors, meaning, you know, as an enabling sector. You know, I think providing that connectivity has helped to change countries. And so we're quite proud of it. And, you know, we go back all the way to the creation of prepaid, not just for South Africa, but for the world. And we started off with a very noble ambition of just wanting to make it possible for every South African to have access to a cell phone. And that led to us creating prepaid for the world. And now our new ambition is everybody must have access to the internet.
Shameel, let's reflect on the numbers. We'll come back to what your plans are for the future a little later, but I want to reflect on the last set of numbers. Revenues were up 26%, with service revenue leading that charge up about 29%, but a lot of that had to do with some of the movements throughout the year. How do you reflect on the performance of the business at this stage? And then we can look into the role that or the impact of those acquisitions.
Yeah, I think, look, when we're doing the comparison on the numbers itself, I think the first, you know, 150 billion is a milestone achievement for us. But I do think, you know, you have to include Egypt in the base to get a true reflection of the growth. So that would be up 10%. Which we're quite happy with. And then EBITDA at 56 billion rand with Egypt in the base would be up 7.8%. So clearly meeting our guidance. Of course, earnings have been impacted. Net profit was up 6.4, but HEPS was down 10.8. And the reason for that was essentially, you know, we took a big devaluation in Egypt. You know, that impacted us by about 2 billion rand. So it has affected HEPS, but I think the positive part is that the devaluation is now behind us and you know, set us up quite nicely for growth with the business growing over 40%. You know, so, and in revenues currently in last quarter, but, you know, earnings growth in Egypt up 52%, you know, in local currency and 22% in rand. So, you know, it's been a strong, strong performance. And we're now managing the business in four segments. So very proud of the results in Egypt and also driven by the fintech and, you know, growing 107% and so on. Kenya has been a standout performance at 16.9 EBITDA growth. International at over 8% EBITDA growth. And then South Africa was a bit subdued during the period, you know, as expected, because I think the macro was, of course, challenged. But at the same time, you know, we had to pick up a lot of costs on load shedding, which kind of impacted the results. Which, but, you know, we are feeling that we've got the right mechanisms in place to ensure better growth in South Africa going forward.
Mm. Shameel, while we're looking at the impact of your international operations, there were some startup losses within the Ethiopian business. But despite this and despite the integration of Egypt and what's happened there, the business is still committed towards the CapEx commitments that you outlined north of 10% for the business. Where's that CapEx now going to refocus to? You touched on something around wanting to ensure that everybody is connected and achieving greater connectivity. Is that where the money's going to go?
So one of the big things for us, Jimmy, is that you have to be able to continuously invest in your networks. If you don't, then effectively what will happen is you start to lose share, your customer experience kind of, you know, wanes and so on. So the right level of investment that we've put down is 13 to 14 and a half. And so, I mean, just in South Africa alone, we spend 11 billion in the total group, over 20 billion a year. Now, but that still is not enough. So what we're doing now is we're entering into partnerships and we're saying, look, there's a lot of opportunities, but we don't have the money to go in all on our own. So, you know, how do we bring partners on board? So In South Africa, it's the partnership with CIVH, which is in front of the competition authorities, and we think could be a meaningful partnership to change the face of fiber. But, you know, we're also partnering with the likes of CIVH and other like-minded partners to grow fiber into the continent because, you know, there is a latent opportunity, but also rural coverage, you know, creating innovative models where we're partnering with other networks to build the coverage that we wouldn't ordinarily have the money to build. And that's what the intent of how do we make it possible for everyone to have access to the internet.
Shamil, where does the VodaPay business line up with the strategy? I know you are competing with the likes of Momo, with M-Pesa on the continent, with a bunch of other service providers, but I know VodaPay has strategically made a couple of different sort of partnerships and relationships work there. What's the strategy going forward for that side of the business, given that it is starting to bear fruit from a financial services point of view?
Yeah, so I mean, look, on the broader context, financial services is a big focus area for us. We process something like $1.1 billion a day. And, you know, with Safaricom, we generate about $31 billion of revenue, of which $3.2 billion of that revenue comes from South Africa. And so in the South African mix, we have a couple of different revenue streams. It's not exactly the same as in M-Pesa, but that also shows the, our ability to pick up the opportunity. So we have a large insurance business, as an example, with our own licenses and so on in South Africa, which is within the 3.2 billion. And then we have a number of different products that also form part of it, of which merchant point of sale is an example, merchant lending, you know, vouchering and so on and so on. And then VodaPay is a way of us basically bringing our services in. So it's creating a platform on which different parties can or merchants can bring their products onto the platform and then essentially be able to expand beyond their geographical areas. So it's like, think about it as one big digital shopping mall where you can do anything and everything from the app. So that's the journey that we're on. And that numbers are picking up quite nicely, 10 million downloads. If you look at the top 10 downloads in the country, VodaPay features on that. So that's been very, very strong in that context. But also we're seeing the number of transacting users pick up quite nicely. What we've also done is merge the Vodacom app into the VodaPay app. So that in itself is becoming what we call a toothbrush case, the everyday use case of people buying airtime and so on. And we want to replicate the VodaPay strategy on top of M-Pesa. So we have a richer experience so that you can actually, you know, be able to see the products and then of course buy the products, but also allow multiple merchants the ability to sell their products, everything from, you know, ride hailing to holidays to, you know, everything happening to pay bills, to checking your fines, to taking a loan, to eat now, pay later, buy now, pay later, investments. All of that will happen through the super app.
Well, certainly lots in store for the Vodacom team, and I imagine you would be hard at work. It now explains exactly where that CapEx expenditure is going to go. Shamil, before I let you go, I wonder if I could touch on somewhat of a sensitive topic, the ongoing developments with the court case that you have, that you've taken to the Constitutional Court regarding the Please Call Me matter. From a business perspective, I don't know if you are able to comment on anything beyond what's been shared in the media, but from a financial perspective, has the business raised any provisions regarding a possible settlement that you have or settlement conversations that you've been having?
So, Jimmy, I can't comment too much. I think everything that's been said is already in the public domain and so on, because, of course, there's always the chance that it comes back to me as the deadlock breaker. So that's the one side. But in terms of provisions, I think the company's disclosed that there's an immaterial provision that's been made in terms of the disclosures in the financials.
Of course, and we'll keep an eye on those developments as they unfold. Thank you so much for the time once again. That was Shamil Yusuf, who is the Group CEO for Vodacom, joining me to reflect on the company's results as well as their future plans as they move forward.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.